Good evening. Welcome to HBCU iRadio Family Circle, where we talk about financial awareness and life issues. I'm your host, James Sutton Jr. of J Square Financial Services. I'm here with my wife, Jeanette. And this evening, we have the pleasure of individuals with us this evening. We have with us Chef Ron and Precious Pauline. And Chef Ron and Precious Pauline, could you tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, and how we can find out about you?
Okay, so I'm one half of Chef Ron and Precious Pauline. I'm the Precious Pauline part. I am a prophetic poet, an author, a playwright, a soul coach. And what that means is that I just help you fulfill your assignment by getting your mind, body, and soul into alignment, by pushing past your pain into your power. I am an author of my newly released book. Well, not newly, I just celebrated a year, let's say. And it's 365 Days of Loving Yourself to Life, Becoming the Gift You Are Always Meant to Be. You can get all of my products and all my services from PreciousPauline.com. Now, the other half of me is Chef Ron. Go ahead, Ron. Tell them who you are.
I'm Precious Husband.
hey, Precious Husband.
Everywhere I go, that's Precious Husband. You're Precious Husband. Well, no, I go by Ron. We're located in Charlotte, North Carolina. I have a one of the most brilliant catering companies in the country that you've never heard of. I mean, when I say brilliant, I mean brilliant. We can do anything. And we can beat any price. So that's why I say it's the most amazing, best catering service in the United States that you've never heard of.
Well, I was going to tell you, I heard of y'all because you did a party for me. And that's One Bite Catering, correct?
That's correct. How did you like it? How did you rate it?
Hey, A plus. A plus.
Thank you.
10 across the board. I did that. Got a lot of positive feedback for you. And you can tell when a caterer does good, because ain't nothing left.
Yeah.
when ain't nothing left. That's how you know it's good. Or either you didn't buy enough. So it's one of two reasons. so it's good. And also this evening we have with us Kenyetta Moore. Kenyetta, how you doing? She's out of South Carolina, Columbia, South Carolina. Tell us a little bit about who you are there, Kenyetta.
Hey, I'm good. So, of course, like you said, my name is Kenyetta Moore. I am a co-founder of a company, M2M Financial Group. We focus on financial services, mainly life insurance and retirement planning. Of course, everybody can find me on my social media, Facebook and Instagram, M2M Financial Group. Is where you can find me, and then on my website, you can find me on m2mfinancial.com.
All right, awesome. Thank you. And last but not least, this evening we have with us Tasha Jordan. Tasha, how are you doing? You're out of Columbia also, correct?
Yes, I am. How is everyone doing tonight? I am Tasha Jordan, CEO of the Ella Rose Group. And, again, I'm here in Columbia, South Carolina, and we also specialize in life insurance, investment, retirement planning, med supplements. So we do the whole gamut when it comes to your financial services. And so you can also follow me on Facebook and Instagram at the Ella Rose Group and on my website at www.ellarosegroup.com. And we would love to be able to service you guys, and we're here to help our families and grow your generational wealth.
Right. That's amazing. And good evening, everybody. I'm James Sutton, half of J Square Financial Service. Me and my wife, we also have a financial service company called J Square Financial Services. And we talk about life insurance and life assurance. And one of the things that we live by is Proverbs 13:22, a wise man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. And that's near and dear to my heart. The vision of our company is to live in a financially stable community that uses economic discernment to empower people, and our mission is to empower this generation and generations to come with financial stability, and our goal is to make financial education a priority focus in our community. And one of the reasons why I wanted to get everybody's introduction in, because I want you to let us help you protect your family, and we do that on this platform of Family Circle by talking about financial awareness and life issues. So over the past few weeks, we've been really, really digging in on some of the heart and soul problems and concerns in our community, and we've come up with a lot of solutions, on things that we can do as a community to help change the direction and put us in a place where we have some of the things that we need, where our kids don't have to worry about their future, but they can plan their future at an early age. And one of the things I want to go back to last week with the Paulins, they had an event called Dream Team. So I want to jump into that real quick and just get some feedback on how the event went and tell us a little about your takeaways from that event. And then we're going to jump into our topic for this evening. So Chef Ron and Precious, could y'all just give us a few takeaways from your event on last Saturday and tell us what you learned from it and what we're going to do for the next level in that environment for your dream team.
Okay, so, oh my goodness, it was amazing. We had some young people out. We had a group also come out. And the takeaway was that not only did the kids have to think and start to basically express their dreams, because it was the dream team, which was pulling them to understand that no matter what you're going through, you still need to dream. The dream is what pulls you through those tribulations, those trials, you know. And I explained to them my experience in dealing with molestation growing up and having to know my value, and that the dream that I had for myself to be a prophetic poet, to be a speaker, all of those things kept me going, and it birthed the movement of I Choose Me. And so in my valley, I found my mountaintop. And so I was telling them, and we had a couple of different speakers. My daughter, my 17-year-old daughter, spoke so amazing. The video is on the I Choose Me hashtag No More Excuses page if you would like to see a little bit about what went on. But the takeaway was that not only did the kids talk about their dream, but a lot of the adults said that they had some dreams that they were still working on. And so it kind of made us come together, hear each other. Even we had some younger kids in the room that came up and gave some profound things about just talking about, you know, bullying and how it doesn't matter if you're by yourself. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Know that you have value. Know that you have worth. And, I mean, it just was really good. And kudos to everybody who sponsored and donated to it, because it made it a great success. We had amazing breakfast. We had an amazing group of people in the room. And what the dream now is to turn it into is to continue to raise funds so that I can start allowing them to go to the places that they dream about. Because it resonated last week, James, when you spoke about you being able to see about the airplanes and stuff like that before you know, did it. You dreamed about it. And so being put in that room, my daughter spoke about her new passion was because of the group that we put her in, that my husband found, and we put her in a group. She tapped into her wanting to be marketing and do all of that. So that was birthed in that room. And so I said that we need to start honoring what the kids are interested in and creating outlets for them to go and see that so they know that they can achieve it. Because I think when you can touch it and you're in the room, it makes the dream more real and it makes it more possible in your head. And so I want to be able to create different places that we can take our kids and let them see these different areas of life that they want to be a part of and collaborate with different companies so that they can, you know, see it, touch it, and just be in a room and perhaps get some mentors in that field so that they can also get into the planning stages so they can get ahead of the mark a whole lot sooner than we maybe did.
Yeah, and that's amazing. So that's exactly what we're talking about, because that's what we call foundations. That's foundational. And there's nothing that has ever been built. It's not a marriage. There's not a relationship. There's not a partnership. There's not a company. It has not been built to survive without a strong foundation. And even if it's anchored with a strong foundation, if it falls apart, you're still standing because you're on that same foundation. So the foundation is so profound. It's prophetic. It's so many things that we need to understand and do for our kids, which really leads me into the topic that I want to discuss, because there's a retirement crisis facing the African-American community. There's a crisis. It's when we look at white America, based on an article written by Rodney Brooks. The name of the article is The Retirement Crisis Facing African Americans, and it's from a magazine called Next Avenue. And he talks about there's a huge gap in retirement preparation for African Americans compared to white Americans. Generally speaking, he says the average white family has more than $130,000 in liquid retirement savings versus $19,000 for the African American, and that was from a study in 2013. And they talk about how the wealth gap is continuing to grow, where the average wealth in 2013 was $500,000 higher than African Americans. Well, but in 1963, the average wealth for white families was 117% higher than black families. So you can see how it's five times worse now than it was in 1963 when we talk about the wealth gap. And so part of that has to do with how we plan our retirement and we plan our afterlife, because we have to leave inheritance for our children's children. I know Tasha spoke on the topic about life insurance a couple of weeks ago, where there was a need in our communities to educate folks that it's okay to leave inheritance to your children, because grandma had a policy on everybody. So it's okay. And we have to understand that. But there's two types of income that you have to have. Right now, if you look at retirement, why do you think the retirement age is 65?
Yeah, why did you know? You said that's a good question. I don't know, man. 65, man.
You can be different. All right, so I'm going to let Tasha and Kenyatta jump in. Tasha, Kenyatta, why is the retirement age 65?
Hey, this is Tasha with Ella Rose Group. I think the retirement age is 65, and that's when most, back when they started retirement, that a lot of people aren't living as long. And so now that people are living longer, they're pushing the retirement age up close. I mean, making them the ages older because we're living longer. And so now we're here longer. They don't want to pay us. And so now they're like, okay, now people are living past 65. Let's go ahead and push it up to 66. Let's push it up to 70. And so the government doesn't have to pay into Social Security anymore.
But I wanted to make that point is that most people don't know that the reason why the retirement age is 65 is because that's when people typically, as Tasha says, collect Social Security. So at 65, you're expected to live off of 40% of what you couldn't live 100% off. So if you don't plan for your retirement, you're putting yourself in a bind. That's why you see a lot of our seniors in a position where they have no choice but to go back to work. They have to go get that job, part-time job at Walmart, where they haven't saved and put funds away. Then they have to live a long period of time with no funds and try to now manage off of a Social Security check. It's only a quarter. And I might be wrong, Taj, is it 40% or 25%?
I think it's 20%.
Yeah.
I think it's 20%.
It's 20%. I know it's a small number. I know that. But at the end of the day, think about that, y'all. Think about it. You know, you wait your whole life, you're working for 40-plus years if you start working at 20. So you're working 45 years to retire at 65 to have your check slashed by 75%. And now you're expected to live. So if you didn't do anything to set up retirements, now I know some jobs have 401Ks, but most jobs are doing away with pensions. They're leaving it up to the individual to plan for their retirement. I believe I read an article a couple of weeks ago where Sears just cut out all their insurance for all their retirees. They just said, hey, we're not paying the premiums no more. You're done. Pick it up yourself or you ain't going to have it. So think about where you are as you're starting to plan for retirement. As an entrepreneur, a lot of times you don't have 401k. So if you're not putting money away, you can't make it. But the reality in business is most entrepreneurs are living paycheck to paycheck, just like someone is working in corporate America. So there's really no funds to put away, or it's not important enough to put it away because you still live in that dream that you're going to make your first million in your business, where we know that millionaires are in your top 2 or 3% in the country. So that means that 97% of people's businesses is not going to make over $1 million. So if you're not planning for your retirement or putting something away, you're putting yourself in a position where you can't thrive. So my question for this panel is, why do you think so many people in the African-American community struggle after retirement?
This is Precious. I was going to say that thinking about all the shows that we've been having, how they are so, how they complement each other, because all roads lead back to legacy leaving, right? And in the white community, that a lot of times they leave a will, and then they get insurance, and the life insurance allows them to take those dreams that we were just talking about and being able to implement it in a way and finance the dream, right? So that's what it's all about, being able to finance the dream. Otherwise, you're working for somebody else's dream. And I think because we are always starting at a, less advantage than everybody else, when we go in, those dreams are put on hold for so long, and you're just really trying to make it. And a lot of times, a good portion of us are barely making it, whether you go into a job every day or you are an entrepreneur. And so I think that it's all about starting to plan. So maybe not in this generation, but by the next generation, that we fix the mess, the gap, so we fix those problems for the future, so we can change the narrative of the generations to come. And so everybody that we know should have life insurance, so that your kids can actually have a head start on dreaming for themselves and now creating a business that will leave room for their kids and kids and so on and so forth, and that we all start to pick up these habits that somebody else has that are no longer hidden, that we have access to. So before it was a truth that we didn't know, but now that we know, we have to use this information and apply it so that our kids don't have the same conversation that, that we're having right now. And so I think it's all about our ability to plan for the future and plan for what we need and want in order to be able to not have to wait or be at the place at 65. And a lot of times, like you said, it's not enough to survive, so you still got to work. And so you never get time to rest, And so I think we just got to do better with planning for ourselves so that we can prepare a better future for our legacy and our children and their children and so forth.
Yeah, I just want to say, I was listening to Damon Dash, and he made a point that I kind of live by now. He said, working is cool. God, working for somebody, that's cool. That's cool. He said, but you got to think about it like this. You can't leave your children that job that you work for. He said, you should be always working towards leaving, like you said, leaving the legacy, leaving your children something, an inheritance. So we just got to figure out a way to maneuver to get the next people ahead. Because, like I said, even if we don't got it right now, we might not make it. The kids behind us should be able to make for a lot further than what we did. We should be able to set them up so that they won't have the same issues, deal with the same financial struggles that we deal with.
Go ahead, Kenyatta.
I'm sorry, I'll make it real quick. I was going to say real quick, I agree with Precious about just planning. I think the major thing is not really planning and having that conversation. I know, of course, working in the financial world now for myself and in other sectors, I hear all the time now people ask, well, what is your financial number? And most people don't really think about, well, what is that number? What number do I need to have when I finish and I retire and stop working this job? What do I need to have in my account to be able to sustain me until I actually die? And most people don't think about that. And then I think because we haven't had those conversations at an early age, when a lot of us hear a certain amount of money, we equate that to being a lot of money. But in hindsight, once you start breaking it down and thinking about bills and things that you have to actually do on a day-to-day or a month-to-month basis, then it becomes a small amount of money that you actually have. And so I think it's just, again, having that conversation early on and instilling it, of course, like in our kids now, so that they understand the concept of that money at an earlier age.
All right, and again, I was going to tag in, too. Eugene Mitchell, he's the president of New York Life Insurance. And he was hired by New York Life to put $1 billion back into the African-American community, $1 billion through life insurance. So over the course of 30 years, as people start dying off, unfortunately, and if you get 2,000 people with a $250,000 life insurance policy, you now just put $1 billion back into your community over 30 years. All right, so when we think about it, it doesn't take much. I think we've all read stories where someone was left a certain amount of money from a policy or a situation, and they were able to jumpstart their career. I know when my pops passed, as a family, we didn't get anything. We just had enough money to bury him. So in essence, I'm starting from scratch, you know. And so now I have my son. I have to make sure that I have something in place so that if I go, again, he can jumpstart it. But from a standpoint of retirement, you know, again, I situated myself being in the military. I know I'm going to get about $3,500 a month for the rest of my life because of a 20-year sacrifice I did in the military. So I have a retirement to help offset, you know, as I age out, you know, to not want to work or have to work. At this point right now, once my kids graduate from college, you know, y'all might not see me in Jeanette no more because we're going to be on vacation at least 4 or 5 times a year, you know, because we put ourselves in that position. And then I also have my insurance to make sure that my kids are taken care of where I'm going. But that's the mindset I want to get across to everybody else. And the reason I shifted is because I didn't have that. I didn't have that foundation of someone telling me, even as a job, you know, I wasted a lot of money not investing, just doing stuff, you know, buying stuff, buying things. We invest in some things or we buy things. It's not an investment. We buy stuff that's not an investment. And I think Jay-Z, his last album, got clowned because he was trying to educate people on, hey, instead of, and you know, spending my money here, I'm going to invest in a building that's now worth $1 million if I put $100,000 down. So I think we're doing a better job in our communities because there's so much more talk now than when I was coming up about entrepreneurship. There's a lot more talk, and I think it might be, and y'all tell me, is do you think my talk game has changed because of the people that I'm around? You know, and I think that you alluded to that, Precious, when you talk about introducing the young people to things that they can dream about. Do we think maybe our adults are having that same lack of opportunity because of the people we hang around? You know, once I became an entrepreneur, I started going to entrepreneurship workshops. That's how I met you, Precious, and Ron, is through being a part of a network of people that were doing business, you know. So what are your thoughts? Do you think it has anything to do with who we're around that kind of formats our brain for investing, retirement, and those type of things?
This is Precious. I think absolutely it has something to do with who we are around, right? Because you are what you eat. So at the end of the day, the company we keep will dictate how we think, you know, because those are the conversations that we have. And so if you're sitting around people and nobody's ever discussing these things, then you never get the information or enough for you to start to inquire more about it to change that. But I think a lot of people are stuck in work and back home, and, you know, you're just so busy ready to rest because I feel like so much people have given up in life because you're just doing just enough to get by, and, you know, you just don't have that same passion and that same vision, and you become complacent just because of the fear we have of failing. So I think we're scared to be in the room where we're not the smartest person sometimes, and we're scared to ask the questions that we don't know the answers to because we don't want to look like we don't know. And so that's why my key is to remove the shame and get in your lane, because then you'll be able to open up yourself to so many new things, and you'll be able to learn a lot. So I really do agree that it has a lot to do with the company that we keep, because as you are around somebody, as you are growing with somebody, you tend to pick up their ideas, and you tend to let that stuff, it's still feeding you, right? It's pouring into you. And so what you take in is what's going to come out. And so we do have to put ourselves in the places where we need, you know, to grow and evolve in. And so that's why it's important to get in relationship with yourself so you know where you need to go, what's going to serve you, right? Because, James, you being in the meeting, you had another like-minded people, and I'm sure that influenced you and even helped you even through the process of being an entrepreneur. It helped me a lot too, you know. And so it's just about understanding that if you want something, go in the room with those people that want what you want, because until you can stand by yourself, united, you get that strength to be brave enough to go in the room by yourself and don't need any company. Then you could graduate from the room that you're in. But I say get in the room of comfort first so that you can come out of that fear and you can get that confidence so that then you can stand alone in another room and represent the room you just left. So you got to build in order to go out and build.
All right, that's amazing, because one of the things that we look at, and I know I talk to Tasha a lot, but I think that when we talk about insurance and we talk about building our legacies and our businesses, and this is how we can change the mindset in our communities through events like you guys had for Dream Team. We have to continue to educate the people in their 30s, 40s, and 50s that don't understand that it's not too late for them to plan for their retirement. I know individuals that I've run into, 25, 26 years old, as a college president, they gave up on their life. They saying, this is it. This is all I'm ever going to be, because they don't realize that there's opportunity. And I think a lot of times we say that with our finances as well. We'll sit down and look at our now and say, look, I'm, and then we get comfortable being broke. We get comfortable not passing on legacies to our families and to our kids. So one of the things that we have to continue to do is have forums like this, have discussions like this, go out and invite people. I know Tasha, she's getting ready to go out to a college and talk to some individuals that's getting ready to graduate, to plant seeds in them about their future, because if they're not going to hear it at home, they got to hear it in the environment where they are. So I love the fact that we get the opportunity to go where young people are. We get to go where adults are. We get to go where seniors are. I met with a gentleman today. He was 80 years old, 80 years old, and he had no life insurance. But at 80 years old, he was smart enough to know that he needed it. And now, granted, the older you get, the more expensive it is, but in his mind, it didn't matter. He says, you know what, I didn't do right for 80 years, but I don't want to put the burden of my funeral on my children. Even though all his children were in their 50s and 60s, he still wanted to make sure that they didn't have to worry about that burden. So it's never, you're never too old to restart and replan and restructure. Now, granted, you may not be able to get to that $1 million savings plan, but you sure enough can get to $25,000, $50,000, $60,000 just from little to no effort. So when you guys look at your families, don't look outside of your family. When you look at the older people that's in your family, the individuals in their 50s and 60s, because I know most of y'all are a lot younger than me on the call. So what do you see when you see that 55-year-old, that 65-year-old in your family as it relates to retirement, and what type of conversations did you have with those older statesmen in your community?
Hey, James, this is Kasha with the Ella Rose Group. I wanted to comment on that. My family, we didn't talk about finances. I was just having a conversation. I was on my college campus today and just talking about how I want to go out to the community to talk about finances and credit, because we didn't have that conversation. I have an aunt who's 70 right now, and she's still working. And I wish I could just do whatever I can and just bring her home and you know, pay whatever her expenses are for the month that she needs. But it was because, not because she wasn't a hard worker, but because someone told her she needed to put X amount of dollars up and save it because Social Security wasn't going to be enough. And so my goal at age 36, knowing the industry that I'm in, I don't want to make those same, and I want to say mistakes, because when you don't know, it's not a mistake. It's just you didn't know. No one taught you. So I don't want to say a mistake, but I don't want to do the same thing. I don't want the same thing to happen to me where I'm 70 and I still have to work. So it's definitely having a conversation. I even do things now with my child who's 7 and have a rationale. Is it reasonable for you to pay a dollar for a toy that you're going to play with for 30 minutes, or mommy can give you a dollar and put it into your piggy bank and you can save it. So I'm planting seeds now so when they get older, it'll harvest and she won't have to go through the same thing that my 70-year-old aunt has to go through or somebody who's 40 or 50 will have to go through because no one taught them.
Right, and that's right on point. One of the things, and being in the vein of transparency here, one of the things that Jeanette and I did with our children, and to this day, you know, I still do it because I didn't do right by my money. I'll be the first to tell you, you know, but in some breaths I did right by my money. I always made sure that my kids were involved in sports and all. Me and Jeanette didn't go on our first vacation till our kids were like 16 or 17 years old, something like that. Because we always had them in dance. We had them in some type of event, you know. But hindsight 2020, I invested a lot of money that I should have saved and put away for their college education or taught them the value of, hey, you know, which you can't. But sometimes you try to overcompensate as a parent and you give them things that you never had when the reality I should have been planting seeds in other areas. So when they're in college, thank God for scholarships and stuff, but they had to depend 100% on me paying for them for college, they wouldn't be able to go because I didn't do things the right way. And like you said, Tasha, it's not that it's a mistake. It's just being unaware and not being aware that, hey, you know what, I would have did a better service for my children to some degree, investing some of that into their future, even though the extracurriculum allowed them to become who they are today. So it's that oxymoron, you know, is right and wrong and different. So who else had conversations with somebody in their family, a lack of conversation that you think molded how you parent right now and different situations in your life?
Hello, this is Precious. Mine's just kind of weird because I came from a family where, like, my grandparent, he actually left legacy, right? He had houses and he had land in Anguilla in different places, and he had a very good savings on top of him actually having life insurance. But the crazy thing is he had 9 kids. He left stuff for all of them. And all of them are retired and, you know, are enjoying and traveling. But nobody had a conversation with us. You know how, so that's kind of weird, you know. So you're watching them and now you're asking them, wow, they all retired and living their life. And I'm like, wow, that's how you want to be when you grow up. But we didn't have those conversations. So it's like, you know, I feel like, and I guess as an individual, like my, you know, I guess as your own parent, I guess you expect that would be the one to give you that type of information. But I do realize that they did prepare, but we still never had the right conversation so that we could be prepared. So all of this stuff is we learning as adults as we're going through it. And it's like, wow, if I had knew that then, I would have been ahead of the curve. And so I came from a family that actually did that, and that was left for their, you know, for my aunts and uncles, but we didn't get the same information. So, you know, we still got to, me and Rondell have an life insurance now, but, you know, for a long time we didn't, you know. So it's that new conversation that made us have to take inventory because of the new circles that we're in that made us start saying, wow, and now it starts to make us inquire about, wow, what did y'all do? And then you find out all this stuff is going on. But a lot of times the older generation just don't talk. They don't share a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff they keep to themselves, whether it's secrets, whether it's whatever, and that's how we continue to repeat the generational curses because nobody is informing the next generation of how to be prepared for the next level of life.
Yeah, Kenya.
Sorry, real quick. Hey, this is Kenya from M2M. So I will say for me, since I'm still kind of in the millennial period, I am definitely having that conversation with my son. I have experienced, of course, my parents have kind of had that conversation, but most people don't know that my dad, of course, had his own business and was doing really well until the recession hit. And once the recession hit, it really took a toll on our family. My dad was making well into the 6 figures with no concerns, no issues. So my life was my best life when I was younger. It didn't really hit me until I was going away to college and understood the money and how it wasn't there anymore. So, and I think that came from them just not having that conversation when they were younger, because of all the money that came in and the flow of it, there was nothing there left after the recession hit and after we kind of lost everything with the business. So now I definitely had that conversation with my son. I make sure he knows that he has a bank account. He can't access it. Of course, he's only 7. But I do also have a place where he can put money into, like a little bank that he has here at home. But I do always tell my son, and I tell my son, I said, you know my motto? And he's like, yes, Mommy, I know. And I tell him all the time, you break it, you buy it. You know, and I use that loosely, but I say that to say that, you know, if you mess something up or if you want this or you do this, just know that it's your money, not Mommy's money, that's going to pay for it. It's going to be your money, and now you're going to have to subtract that out of what you already have. So you can add it up. You know how much you have, but if something has to come out of it, now we're going to have to subtract it, and this is how much you will have left for it. So I'm trying to have that conversation now so that once he gets to high school, college, he can be more successful with being able to handle his finances better.
Right, and that's great stuff, because we had those conversations too, Kenyatta, with our children, but I just wasn't practicing what I preach. You know, I was having the conversations with them about savings and putting all that stuff in, but I wasn't leading by example, you know, and it hit me, just like your dad. When I got fired from my job, you know, my daughter had to drop out of her college. You know, she stopped going to college, and she saw the pain in me and came to me and said, Dad, look, I ain't got to go back to school this year. You know, and so that made me grind even harder to make sure that she can go back, because I didn't plan and I didn't do everything that I talked to everybody else about doing. Is making sure that I have to plan my work and work my plan. So, yes, I'm glad I got that foundation for my children, but I didn't do it for myself. And so I'm in a new vein, in a new space, to make sure I'll never be in a position again, one, from being an entrepreneur where I have to depend on somebody to give me a job and keep a job, and two, to put myself in the position where if I ever were to get in a situation where I needed money, I'll have it. And so those are the things that, again, I learned that after 50. And so my goal as a financial service company, and our goal, I should say, is to make sure that we can educate. You know, we can motivate, encourage, and inspire, but we also have to educate. We have to make sure that we're educating people on the options that's available to them. So if you're listening to our show this evening, I implore you, reach out to Kenyatta. She's going to give you our information. Reach out to Tasha. Reach out to James. We'll help you establish something. There's a couple of conversations that we don't like to have in our community. When it comes to relationships, and y'all know what I'm talking about, we don't like talking about that. When it comes to finances in our community, we don't want to talk about that. We don't want to talk about death and dying. So all the conversations that's taboo, we don't want to talk about. We need to have those conversations. And so that's why you have to reach out to some professionals. So if you had, with your health, you go to a doctor. So if you have a problem with your finances, you have to go to a doctor of finances. And you reach out to someone in financial services. You know, what some of the things that we do is sit down with folks to help them plan retirements. If you're an entrepreneur, sit down with Tasha and let her talk to you about IULs or annuities, IRAs, whatever. Have that conversation so you can start putting away $25, $50 a month. Have an extra $50,000 that you can roll over to an annuity that can pay you for the rest of your life, an extra $500, $600, $700 a month will make a difference. Most of those individuals that I ran into, the seniors that have to go back to work and they're working for minimum wage, the reality is they're just getting an extra $300, $400 a week to be able to sustain themselves. So if you set yourself up early, you can have that extra $1,000 to $2,000 a month that'll change your life. It will literally change your life. So sit down with Tasha, sit down with Kenyatta, sit down with James and Jeanette, and let's have those conversations about your finances and get it together. I read an article the other day when we talk about uncomfortable situations. Breastfeeding, one of the most natural things in the world, but it's one of the most controversial things to have a conversation about. And that's how it is with our finances. You know, when we ask people in relationships, what is wrong with the relations, we say, well, there's a problem with communication. If you have a problem in business, what's wrong with the business? It's a conversation, it's a communication issue. So chances are, if you're having problems with your finances, it's a communications issue. When it comes to communicating finances or those touchy subjects in our communities, what do you guys think we can do to break down some of those barriers of those tough conversations of relationships, of money, of anything? What are your thoughts?
This is Precious. I think one of the biggest barriers is about being, like, transparent, James, just how you was free about your story. I think once you let people see that you are just as human as them, and then you show them how you change through a plan, that people will be more open to hearing you, so that it doesn't feel like it's judgment, but that I've been where you are, and so now I'm trying to help you see that this is the step that you take to climb out. And so I think that being transparent with your testimony is a huge way to get the community to hear you, see you, and then, you know, act on whatever it is that they can do to change what they have going on so that they can better their life for their children's future and so on and so forth.
So what I'm hearing you is say that in order for us to reach people, we have to get off our high horse, all right?
Absolutely.
We have to meet people where they are.
Where they are,
And, you know, we have to meet the children where they are, and we have to meet the adults where they are. When I go speak to my clients, that are seniors, I have to meet them where they are. I can't go out and see an 80-year-old man that didn't set up his finances while he was younger, and I can't be judgmental on them saying, bruh, why didn't you do this when you were 60? Why didn't you do this when you was 40? And I believe, like Tasha said on the call, is that it's you didn't make a mistake if you didn't know, you know, and even if you knew, sometimes you don't know how. You might know, but how do you start it? How do you jump start it?
Too late. So some people might feel like their finances are so bad that they're just, you know, the hole is so deep they don't know how to climb out of it.
And again, that's why you have to have those conversations and meet folks where they are so they can say, hey, you know what? Guess what? I got fired from my job. My kid had to drop out of school. All those situations that you're going through, I'm going through too. And these are the steps I took. Your steps may be a little bit different, but these are the steps I took. You know, think about it. Even when it comes to losing weight or something else, we'll look at somebody that lost 50, 60 pounds and say, oh, how'd you do that? And guess what? They'll tell you, but you ain't going to do what they did, and you ain't going to lose 50 pounds. And you may do what they did, but because of your body's metabolism, it may not work for you. So you have to find out what works for you. But what Precious is saying is, by being transparent and open and letting people see that, you know what, it's okay to be in your situation, but it's not too late for you to change. It can happen to anybody. So when anybody have a situation that you had to make a change in, that it was difficult for you, you seen somebody else do it, and you tried to do it their way, and it didn't work for you, but another way did work. Jeanette said, well, what was the question? I said, have you ever been in a situation where something worked for somebody else? You tried to do it their way. It didn't work for you, but it got you to the position where you still wanted to change, and you did a little different, and you had some great results, but you had to find a way that worked for you. You know, those are the things that we have to do when we're raising our children. We can't say, hey, you know, you need to do it definitively this way. This is how I did it, and you need to do it this way. And they try to do it your way, but it doesn't fit their personality. You know, I see that a lot in sales. A lot of sales coaches will tell you, you have to say it this way, you have to do it this way. But that doesn't fit your personality, so you're always going to sound like a salesman. The best salespeople don't sound like salespeople because they're being natural. They're empathizing. They're finding out your why.
You have to have your own technique.
But you have to know that it can be done. When you think about dream team, it's not that you're telling the teams, hey, if you want to be an astronaut, you need to do this. Now, there's certain prereqs that you have to meet regardless of who you are, but you may get to those prereqs a little bit different. You know, you may not ace this. I mean, if you go to the doctor, how many of y'all ever went to a doctor and ask them for their transcript? They may have failed their specialty two or three times before they got to you. But we don't know that because we don't ask for that transcript. We just assume that because you passed that exam to be a doctor, you're a doctor. That's right. You could be seeing the doctor was a straight D student, but just got by. He oops it. You know, he went C, 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 and put the D in there and passed. You know, so we don't know. So what we have to do in our communities when it comes to financial planning, when it comes to retirement planning, when it comes to relationship planning, like you said, Precious on the top of the show, it all comes back to looking at where's the foundation. It all comes back to grouping. It all comes back to generational. It all comes back to planting seeds and guiding. So, again, the question is, for you guys, who was the most influential person in your life that got you on the path that you're on right now, if you had taken their advice earlier on? So who's that person in your life?
My guy is this guy named Ahmad Daniels. I was in this program called 100 Black Men back in the early 90s, and we used to meet once a month. And what it is, like, all the top 100 black businessmen or entrepreneurs or whatever in the Charlotte area, they all sponsor one kid. So it was like 100 of us in the program. And my guy, Les Spring. And the crazy thing about it, my mentor was a vice president of Wachovia at the time. Who was talking about was Wachovia. I didn't know nothing about what it was. He used to take me to the Hornets games, and we used to be like in this. I used to be like, well, if he got money, why are we not sitting down by the court? We would be in like a little, in the room, in like a separate room with the player. He had to look, watch the game through the glass, not knowing that that's a daggone skybox. He got me in the skybox. So it's like, wow. So I was exposed to a lot of things. I didn't know what it was until I got older. But the one thing Ahmad Daniels told me, he said, man, I'm going to tell you what, and this the truth if I've ever heard it. He said, you're going to work hard in your life. So you can either work hard now while you're young, or you're going to work hard when you get old. But you better believe that you're going to have to work hard. So if I would have worked hard when I was young, because I had plenty of opportunities. I had so many resources that I did not take advantage of because I was trying to be one of the cool kids instead of being one of the educated ones. So, like, it's just something that I live by. I tell people now, I can talk a lot about mistakes, like what not to do. I can't really tell people what to do, so I can give you good advice on what not to do because I did a lot of not to do's in my lifetime. So I'm getting it together now. But back then, if I was just listening to him when he said that, if I was just work harder when I was, like I said, if I go back, I would just go. I mean, I would not pay attention to school. I wouldn't care about them Alkins, all that money. I waste it. Oh, my God. My life would be, I'd be set right now. I'd be set.
All right. Anybody else? Who influenced you in your life? And if you had taken the advice, things would be a little bit different. All right. One of the things that you said, though, Chef Ron, was profound about that skybox. I want everybody to just picture being in the skybox. You the furthest away from the court, you know, but you're in the best seat in the house. Woo! You the furthest away from the court in the best seat in the house. You would get a better view if you was looking at the game on TV than being in the skybox. But your level of prestige got you so far away from the reality because you're not there technically for the game. You're there for the ambiance. You're there to let people know that, hey, you know what? I made it. So I'm looking at the same thing you're looking at, but your tickets cost, if you're right there in the front row, right up on the game, you can smell the sweat. You know, you hear the skit. But you're still not on the level that I'm on, and I'm in the skybox. So that a lot of time is all about the view. And sometimes we see people close up thinking their situation is grand, but the reality, you need to be in the skybox looking at them from afar, you know, and being in a better position, because there's a lot of people that was in my life that had I taken the advice and did some of the things that they told me to do while I was young, and thankfully God, you know, protected me and surrounded me with some good folk, so that I can still achieve a lot of the goals. Because although we may have fell short, Chef Ron, you're in a dynamic relationship You have beautiful children, all because at the end of the day, while you may not have followed the steps that were right there, you still had seeds planted in you, so you know what. You know what could have, you know. So those are the things that Jeanette was saying. They may feel that you may feel, and I'm talking to everybody in our audience right now, you may feel right now that your situation is so dire, you know, when it comes to your finances, when it comes to your relationship, when it comes to your life, it's so bad right now, it's not going to take you anywhere. But the reality is that you're in a place right now where you can do anything and everything you want to do. And I have to mention the 80-year-old man again. When I talked to him, he said he had Parkinson's disease. He was living alone. And he said, I like it because I have my independence. I don't want to have to depend on nobody else, but I don't want nobody else to worry about me. So I'm going to put this thing in place right now to protect them. So as we get ready to wrap up the show, and we're going to take a quick sponsor break here, but as we wrap up the show, one of the things I want everybody to know right now is that in order for you to have a great retirement, if you're already at retirement age, you know, your situation right now, your responsibility right now is to reach out to a young person and say, hey, do it like I did it or don't do it like me. Put yourself in a situation where you don't have to worry about some of the things that I have to worry about. Those individuals that's working right now that have no choice, it's a difference. It's a difference. I'm thankful my mom, she's 77, and she's in a position right now where she don't have to work. You know, she doesn't have to work. She's not in a position where she had to work once she retired. You know, thankfully she has some things in place. That's what I wish all older people, all our seniors were in that position, but they're not. So we have to make sure that we're positioned in this next generation. And all you guys in your 30s and 40s, plan now. Don't wait. You know, I'm 56 years old, and if it wasn't for the military and putting 23 years that I invested in, I would be in a tough situation. You know, so yes, I lost my job, but I still had income because of a retirement. But there's so many other people that lost jobs that don't have no income. So you have to plan. If you're an entrepreneur and you're building a business, build your retirement. Don't put yourself in a situation where you have to work at 60, you have to work at 70, you have to work at 80 because you didn't plan for your future. If you're in your 30s and 40s right now, you have 20-plus years based on the norm of retirement to set your retirement up. So when you get to Social Security, you also have a supplemental income coming in to help offset those bills. One thing I can guarantee you is that what you're paying for your bills right now, 20 years from now, it's going to be higher. I can tell you that right now. It's going up. Prices are not coming down. So let's make sure you do that. So as we wind off, I'm going to go ahead and open the floor up. I want you Tasha, just tell everybody about Ella Rose Group, how they could get in touch with you, and how you can assist them in their financial planning. And then we're going to have you come on, Kenyatta, tell us a little bit about that. Chef Ron and Precious, just tell them a little bit about Perspective of the Paulins, what your next event you have coming up. But right now, I definitely want to focus on this financial piece. So, Tasha, could you tell everybody, all our listeners, how can they reach you to get some information on financial planning?
Hey, guys. This is Tasha Jordan with the Ella Rose Group. Really excited to be on tonight. Again, you can reach me at social media on both platforms, which is Facebook and Instagram at Ella Rose Group. And you can also reach me at www.ellarosegroup.com, as well as you can call me. I love to hear voices. You can call me at 803-368-3055. And again, at Ella Rose Group, we educate, we ensure, we protect, and we want to make sure that your future of you and your family is protected. So please give us a call.
All right. Thank you very much, Tasha. And Kenyatta, can you tell us how can folk get in touch with you to get some of that financial advice on planning for their retirements and their insurance?
Yes. Hey, everybody. This is Kenyatta again. So kind of like Tasha said, you can reach me on both social media platforms. On Facebook, Instagram, it's M2M Financial Group, M2M Financial Group. Website is www.m2mfinancial.com, and you can reach me at 803-339-0404.
All right, awesome. And again, thank you very much for that. And please take some time. I'm at J Square Financial Services. I can be reached at 704-953-4250, or you can go to www.myonlineinsuranceinsurancequote.com and get an insurance quote online, and it's going to help you with your IUL, your annuities, your retirement planning, and you have to let us help you help you. We have to get in touch with you. So before we turn off, I definitely want to reach out to Chef Ron and Precious one more time. Tell us what, if you have any events coming up, how can we book you for some catering services, Chef Ron with One Bite Catering, and what do you have up next for Perspective with the Paulers? When can they tune in to hear your show?
Okay, this is Precious and Chef Ron from Perspective with the Paulers. You can tune in to see our show on Facebook Live on Tuesdays at 9 p.m. That's on the I Choose Me hashtag No More Excuses group page, or you could join Precious Paulin and make me a part of your friends, and you also can see the shows. I also have Soul Stirring Conversations that comes on midday at 12:30 on Monday and Thursdays, where we just use that time to stir up the ingredients that is you, so that you can be of service and you can serve yourself. Because at the end of the day, we tend to settle in who we are. And so as long as we communicate with each other and level each other up, we'll be able to show up in our full magnitude. So if you also would like to book the best chef in town in the Charlotte area, or he can travel to you, like everything's possible, you can definitely reach him at, One Bite Catering Services at gmail.com. That's One Bite Catering Services at gmail.com. And you can always message him on Facebook at Ron Paulin, and you can always message me at Precious Paulin. And I also have a website called Precious Paulin, that's P-R-E-C-I-O-U-S, Paulin, P-A-U-L-I-N-G.com, and you can find all services and anything you need on that site. Get your book, 365 Days of Loving Yourself to Life Will Change Your Life.
All right, awesome. Thank you very much for that. Well, again, everybody, thank you very much for tuning in to HBCUI Radio Family Circle, where we discuss financial awareness and life issues. It's so important to us that you understand that your financial awareness is the key and a foundation. We could want a lot of things in life, but it's going to take financial awareness to get a lot of those things. And we have to understand that our life issues are just obstacles, you know, in a sense, but the reality, they're just stepping stones. There's always a way around an obstacle. And that's by getting financially aware, making sure you're aware of your situations in front of you. So take some time. Reach out to Tasha. Reach out to Kenyatta. Reach out to myself. Let's go ahead and discuss those financial awareness concerns that you have. Let's go ahead and get you aware and get you in a position where you can leave a legacy for your children's children. Again, I'm James Sutton and Jeanette Sutton, J Square Financial. Again, thank you for tuning in to HBCUI Radio Family Circle. God bless.